She had beautiful but stern features, arched brows accentuating almond-shaped eyes set in a square face. Behind her, the three Dobermans sat, tails wagging. "You're a goddess," Persephone said, getting to her feet, and the woman smiled. "Hecate," she bowed her head. Persephone knew a lot about Hecate because of Lexa. She was the goddess of witchcraft and magic. She was also one of the few goddesses Demeter actually admired. Maybe that had something to do with the fact that she wasn't an Olympian. In any case, Hecate was known as a protector of women and the oppressed, a nurturer in her own way, even though she preferred solidarity. "I'm Persephone," she said, smiling. "I have been waiting to meet you."
"You have?"
"Oh, yes." Hecate's laugh seemed to make her glow. "Since you fell into the Styx and had Lord Hades in an uproar."
Persephone blushed.
"I'm sorry I scared you, but as I'm sure you've learned, the rivers of the underworld are dangerous, even to a goddess," Hecate explained. "The Lethe will steal your memories. Hades should have told you that. I will scold him later."
Persephone laughed at the thought of Hecate scolding Hades. "Can I watch?"
"Oh, I would only think to reprimand him in front of you, my dear."
They smiled at each other. And Persephone said, but do you happen to know where I might find some water? I just planted a garden."
"Come," Hecate said. And as she turned, she picked up the red ball and threw it. The three dogs took off through the grass. "I see you have met Hades' dogs."
"They're really his?"
"Oh, yes. He loves animals. He has the three dogs, Cerberus, Typhon, and Orthrus, and four horses, Orphneus, Aethon, Nycteus, and Alastor."
Hecate led Persephone to a fountain buried deep in Hades' gardens. As she filled the container, she asked, "Do you live here?"
"I live in many places," Hecate replied. "But this is my favorite."
"Really?"
"Yes."
Hecate smiled and looked out at the landscape.
"I enjoy it here. The souls and the lost, they are my loves. And Hades is kind enough to have given me a cottage."
"It's far more beautiful than I expected," Persephone admitted.
"It is to all who come here," Hecate smiled. "Let's water your garden, shall we?"
Hecate and Persephone returned to the garden and watered the seeds. Hecate pointed to several of the markers Persephone had used to remember what and where she had planted.
"Tell me, what are these plants?"
"That one is anemone." Persephone found herself blushing. "Hades wore one in his suit the night I met him." Persephone gathered her tools, and Hecate showed her where to store the items, in a small alcove near the palace. After, Hecate took Persephone on a tour of the grounds. As they passed Hades' obsidian home, she noted a few new things she hadn't before: a stone courtyard attached to the palace, and stables. They continued, following a slate path among tall shoots of grass. "Asphodel! I love these!" Persephone exclaimed, recognizing the flowers mixed among the grass with their long stems and spike of white flowers. The farther they walked, the more abundant they became.
"Yes, we're close to asphodel."
Hecate held out her hand to stop Persephone from moving too far forward. When she looked down, she stood at the edge of a steep canyon. The asphodel grew right up to the edge of the incline, making the chasm almost impossible to see as they approached. Persephone wasn't sure what she expected from asphodel, but she guessed she'd always thought of death as a sort of aimless existence, a time where souls occupied space but had no purpose. At the bottom of this canyon, however, there was life. A field of green stretched for miles, flanked by sloping hills in the distance. Several small homes were scattered over the emerald plain, all slightly different, some crafted of wood and others of obsidian brick. Smoke rose from some chimneys, flowers bloomed in a few window boxes, and warm light illuminated windows. A wide path cut right through the center of the field, crowded with souls and colorful tents.
"Are they celebrating something?" Persephone asked. Hecate smiled.
It is market day. Would you like to explore?
Very much, Persephone said.
Hecate took the young goddess's hand and teleported, landing on the ground inside the valley. When Persephone looked up, she could see Hades' palace rising tall toward his muted sky. She realized it was similar to the way Nevernight towered over the mortals in the world above. It was both beautiful and ominous, and Persephone wondered what feelings the sight of their king's tower inspired in these people. The path they followed through Asphodel was lined with lanterns. Souls wandered about, looking as solid as living humans. Now that Persephone was on ground level, she saw that the colorful tents were filled with a variety of goods. Apples and oranges, figs and pomegranates. Others held beautifully embroidered scarves and woven blankets.
You look puzzled, Hecate commented.
Where does all this stuff come from? Persephone asked.
It is made by the souls.
Why? Persephone asked. Do the dead need this stuff?
I think you misunderstand what it means to be dead, Hecate said. Souls still have feeling and perception. It pleases them to live a familiar existence.
Lady Hecate, someone called in greeting.
Once one of the souls spotted the goddess, others did too, and approached, bowing and grasping her hands. Hecate smiled and touched everyone, introducing Persephone as the goddess of spring. At that, the soul seemed confused.
We do not know the goddess of spring.
Of course they didn't. No one did. Until now.
She is the daughter of the goddess of harvest, Hecate explained. She will be spending time with us here in the underworld.
Persephone blushed. She felt compelled to offer an explanation, but what was she supposed to say? I entered into a game with your lord, and he held me to a contract I must fulfill? She decided staying silent was best. She and Hecate walked for a long while, exploring the market. Souls offered them everything, fine silk and jewels, fresh breads and chocolate. Then a young girl ran up to Persephone with a small white flower and held it out in her pale hand, bright-eyed, looking as alive as ever. It was a strange sight, and it made Persephone's heart feel heavy. Her gaze fell to the flower, and she hesitated, knowing if she touched the petal, it would shrivel. Instead, she bent and allowed the girl to thread the flower into her hair. After, several more souls of all ages approached to offer flowers. By the time she and Hecate left Asphodel, a crown of flowers decorated Persephone's head, and her face hurt from smiling so much.
The crown suits you, Hecate said.
They're just flowers, Persephone replied.
Accepting them from the souls means a lot.
They continued toward the palace, and as they crested a hill, Persephone stopped short, spotting Hades in the clearing. He was shirtless, sun-kissed and chiseled, sweat glistening over his defined back and biceps. His arm was back as he prepared to throw the red ball his three hounds had brought her earlier. For a moment, she felt panicked, like she was intruding or seeing something she wasn't meant to see, this moment of abandon where he was engaged in something so mortal. It ignited something low in her stomach, a fluttering that spread to her chest. Hades threw the ball, his strength and power evident in how impossibly far it went. The hounds bolted after it, and Hades laughed deep and loud. The sound was warm like his skin and echoed in Persephone's chest. Then the god turned, and his eyes found hers immediately, as if he was drawn to her. Her eyes widened as she took him in, trailing from his broad shoulders to the deep V of his abs. He was beautiful, a work of art, carefully sculpted. When she managed to look at his face again, she found him smirking, and she quickly averted her eyes. Hecate marched forward, like she wasn't even fazed by Hades' physique.
You know they never behave for me after you spoil them, Hades grinned.
They grow lazy under your care, Hecate.
His eyes slid to Persephone.
I see you have met the goddess of spring.
Yes, and she is quite lucky I did. How dare you not warn her to stay away from the Lethe?
Hades' eyes widened, and Persephone tried not to smile at Hecate's tone.
It seems I owe you an apology, Lady Persephone.
Persephone wanted to tell him he owed her far more, but she couldn't make her mouth work. The way Hades looked at her took her breath away. She swallowed hard and was relieved when a horn sounded in the distance. Hecate and Hades turned in its direction.
I am being summoned, she said.
Summoned? Persephone echoed. Hecate smiled.
The judges are in need of my advice.
Persephone didn't understand, and Hecate didn't explain.
My dear, call the next time you are in the underworld, she said in parting. We'll return to Asphodel.
I would love that, Persephone said. Hecate vanished, leaving her alone with Hades. Why would the judges need Hecate's advice? Persephone demanded.
Hades cocked his head to the side, as if he were trying to decide whether he should tell her the truth.
Hecate is the lady of Tartarus, and particularly good at deciding punishments for the wicked.
Persephone shivered. Where is Tartarus?
I would tell you if I thought you would use the knowledge to avoid it.
You think I want to visit your torture chamber? He leveled his dark gaze upon her.
I think you are curious, he said, and eager to prove I am, as the world assumes, a deity to be feared.
You're afraid I'll write about what I see, he chuckled.
Fear is not the word, darling.
She rolled her eyes. Of course, you fear nothing. Hades responded by reaching to pluck a flower from her hair.
Did you enjoy Asphodel?
I did. She couldn't help smiling. Everyone had been so kind. Your souls, they seem so happy.
You are surprised?
Well, you aren't exactly known for your kindness, Persephone said, and immediately regretted the harshness of her words. Hades' jaw tightened.
I'm not known for my kindness to mortals. There is a difference.
Is that why you play games with their lives? His eyes narrowed, and she could feel the tension rise between them like the restless waters of the Styx.
I seem to recall advising that I would answer no more of your questions.
Persephone's mouth fell open. You can't be serious.
As the dead, he said.
But how will I get to know you? That stupid smirk on his face returned.
You want to get to know me?
She averted her gaze, scowling. I'm being forced to spend time here, right? Shouldn't I get to know my jailer better?
So dramatic, he said.
But he was quiet for a moment, considering. Oh no, Persephone said. Hades raised a brow.
What?
I know that look. He raised a curious brow.
What look?
You get this look when you know what you want. She felt ridiculous saying that out loud. His eyes darkened and his voice lowered.
Do I?
He paused.
Can you guess what I want?
I'm not a mind reader.
Pity, he said. If you would like to ask questions, then I propose a game.
No, I'm not falling for that again.
No contract, he said. No favors owed, just questions answered, like you want.
She lifted her chin and narrowed her eyes. Fine, but I get to pick the game. He clearly hadn't expected that, and the surprise showed on his face. Then he grinned.
Very well, goddess.
Chapter 9. Rock, Paper, Scissors.
This game sounds horrible,
Hades complained, standing in the middle of his study, a beautiful room with floor-to-ceiling windows and a large obsidian fireplace. He'd found a shirt since they returned to the palace, and Persephone was only glad because his nakedness would have proved a distraction during their game.
You're just mad because you haven't played.
It sounds simple enough. Rock beats scissors, scissors beats paper, and paper beats rock. How exactly does paper beat rock?
Paper covers rock, Persephone said. Hades frowned at her reasoning, and the goddess shrugged. Why is an ace a wild card?
Because it's the rules.
Well, it's a rule that paper covers rock, she says. Ready? They lifted their hands, and Persephone couldn't help giggling. Witnessing the god of the dead playing rock, paper, scissors should be on every mortal's bucket list. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, they said in unison. Yes, Persephone squealed. Rock beats scissors. She mimicked smashing Hades' scissors with her fist. The god blinked.
Damn, I thought you'd choose paper.
Why?
Because you just sang paper's praises.
Only because you asked why paper covers rock. This isn't poker, Hades. It's not about deception. He met her gaze, eyes burning.
Isn't it?
She looked away, drawing in a breath before she asked. You said you had successes before with your contracts. Tell me about them. Hades moved to a bar cabinet across the room, poured his drink of choice, whiskey, and took a seat on his black leather sofa.
What is there to tell? I have offered many mortals the same contract over the years. In exchange for money, fame, love, they must give up their vice. Some mortals are stronger than others and conquer their habit.
Conquering a disease is not about strength, Hades.
No one said anything about disease.
Addiction is a disease. It cannot be cured. It must be managed.
It is managed,
he argued. How? With more contracts?
That is another question.
She lifted her hands, and they played another round. When she drew rock and he scissors, she didn't celebrate, but demanded, How, Hades?
I do not ask them to give up everything at once. It is a slow process.
They played again, and this time Hades won.
What would you do?
She blinked. What?
What would you change to help them?
Her mouth fell open a little at his question. First, I wouldn't allow a mortal to gamble their soul away. Second, if you're going to request a bargain, challenge them to go to rehab if they're an addict. And do one better, pay for it. If I had all the money you have, I'd spend it helping people. He studied her a moment.
And if they relapsed?
Then what? She asked. Life is hard out there, Hades. And sometimes living it is penance enough. Mortals need hope, not threats of punishment. Silence stretched between them. And then Hades lifted his hands. Another game. This time, when Hades won, he took her wrist and pulled her to him. He laid her palm flat, his fingers brushing the bandage Hecate had helped her tie.
What happened?
She offered a breathy laugh. It's nothing compared to bruised ribs. Hades' face hardened, and he was quiet. After a moment, he pressed a kiss to her palm, and she felt the healing warmth of his lips seal her skin. It happened so quickly she had no time to pull away. Why does it bother you so much? She wasn't sure why she was whispering. She guessed it was because this all felt so intimate, the way they sat, facing each other on the couch, leaning so close she could kiss him. Instead of answering, he placed a hand on the side of her face, and Persephone swallowed thickly. If he kissed her now, she wouldn't be responsible for what happened next. Then the door to Hades' study opened, and Minthy entered the room. She wore an electric blue dress that hugged her curves in ways that left little to the imagination, and Persephone was surprised by the shock of jealousy that ricocheted through her. She had a thought that if she were mistress of the underworld, Minthy would always wear turtlenecks and knock before she entered any room. The flaming-haired nymph stopped short when she saw Persephone sitting beside Hades, her anger obvious. A smile curled Persephone's lips at the thought that Minthy might be jealous, too. The god withdrew his hand from her face and asked in an irritated voice,
"Yes, Minthy?"
"My lord, Karen has requested your presence in the throne room."
"Has he said why?"
"He has caught an intruder." Persephone looked at Hades. "An intruder? How? Would they not drown in the Styx?"
"If Karen caught an intruder, it's likely he attempted to sneak onto his ferry."
Hades stood and held out his hand.
"Come, you will join me."
Persephone took his hand, a move that Minthy watched with fire in her eyes before she twisted on her heels and left the study ahead of them. They followed her down the hall and to Hades' cavernous, high-ceilinged throne room. Rounded glass windows let in muted light. Black flags bearing images of gold Narcissus flanked either side of the room, all the way to the precipice of Hades' throne. Like him, it was sculpted and looked as if it were composed of thousands of pieces of shattered, sharp obsidian. A man with umber skin stood there near the precipice, draped in white and crowned with gold. Two long braids hung over his shoulders, clamped with gold. His dark eyes first fell upon Hades, then on her. Persephone tested Hades' grip on her hand, but the god only held her tighter, guiding her past the ferryman and up the steps to his throne. Hades waved his hand, and a smaller throne materialized beside his. Persephone hesitated.
"You are a goddess. You will sit in a throne."
He guided her to be seated, and only then released her hand. When he took his place upon the throne, Persephone thought for a moment that he might drop his glamour, but he didn't.
"Karen, to what do I owe the interruption?"
"You're Karen?" Persephone asked the man in white. He looked nothing like the drawings in her ancient Greek textbook that always depicted him as either an old man, a skeleton, or a figure cloaked in black. This version almost resembled a god, beautiful and charming. Karen grinned, and Hades' jaw tightened.
"I am indeed, my lady."
"Please call me Persephone," she said.
"My lady will do," Hades said sharply. "I am growing impatient, Karen."
The ferryman bowed his head. Persephone got the sense Karen was amused by Hades' mood.
"My lord, a man named Orpheus was caught sneaking onto my ferry. He wishes for an audience with you." "Show him in. I am eager to return to my conversation with Lady Persephone."
Karen snapped his fingers, and a man appeared before them on his knees, hands tied behind his back. Persephone inhaled, surprised by the manner in which he'd been restrained. The man's curly hair was plastered to his forehead, still dripping with river water from the Styx. He looked defeated. "Is he dangerous?" Persephone asked. Karen looked at Hades, so Persephone did too. "You can see to his soul. Is he dangerous?" she asked again. She could tell by the way the veins in Hades' neck rose that he was gritting his teeth. Finally, he said,
"No."
"Then release him from those bindings." Hades' eyes bored into hers. Finally, he turned to the man and waved his hand. When the bonds disappeared, he fell forward, hitting the floor. As he climbed to his feet, he looked at Persephone.
"Thank you, my lady." "Why have you come to the underworld?" Hades asked.
Persephone was impressed. The mortal kept Hades' gaze and showed no sign of fear.
"I have come for my wife."
Hades did not respond, and the man continued.
"I wish to propose a contract, my soul in exchange for hers." "I do not trade in souls, mortal," the god answered. "My lord, please."
Hades held up his hand, and the man turned his gaze to Persephone, pleading.
"Do not look upon her for aid, mortal. She cannot help you."
Persephone took that as a challenge. "Tell me of your wife." She ignored Hades' gaze burning and focused on Orpheus. "What was her name?"
"Eurydice. She died a day after we were married."
"I am sorry. How did she die?"
"She just went to sleep and never woke up."
His voice broke. "You lost her so suddenly." Persephone's chest ached and her throat felt tight.
She felt such sympathy for the man who stood broken before them.
The fates cut her life thread, Hades said. I cannot return her to the living, and I will not bargain to return souls.
Persephone's fists curled. She wanted to argue with the god in that moment, before Minthy and Charon and this mortal. Was that not what he had done during the Great War? Bargained with the gods to bring back their heroes?
Lord Hades, please, Orpheus choked. I love her.
Something hard and cold settled in her stomach when Hades laughed, a single harsh bark.
You may have loved her, mortal, but you did not come here for her. You came for yourself.
Hades reclined in his throne.
I will not grant your request. Charon.
The daimon's name was a command, and with a snap of his wrist, both he and Orpheus were gone. Persephone seethed, refusing to look at Hades. She was surprised when Hades broke the silence.
You wish to tell me to make an exception.
You wish to tell me why it's not possible, she countered. His lips twitched.
I cannot make an exception for one person, Persephone. Do you know how often I am petitioned to return souls from the underworld?
She imagined often, but still. You barely offered him a voice. They were only married for a day, Hades.
Tragic, he said.
She glared at him. Are you so heartless?
They are not the first to have a sad love story, Persephone, nor will they be the last, I imagine.
You've brought mortals back for less, she said. Hades looked at her.
Love is a selfish reason to bring the dead back.
And war isn't? Hades' eyes darkened.
You speak of what you do not know, goddess.
Tell me how you picked sides, Hades, she said.
I didn't.
Just like you didn't offer Orpheus another option. Would it have been relinquishing your control to offer him even a glimpse of his wife, safe and happy in the underworld? How dare you speak to Lord Hades, Minthy began, but she stumbled when Persephone glared at her. She wished she had the power to turn Minthy into a plant.
Enough.
Hades stood and Persephone followed.
We are done here.
Shall I show Persephone out? Minthy asked.
You may call her Lady Persephone, Hades said. And no, we are not finished.
Minthy did not take her dismissal well, but she left, her heels clicking against the marble as she went. Persephone watched her leave until she felt Hades' fingers under her chin. He lifted her eyes to his.
It seems you have a lot of opinions on how I manage my realm.
You showed him no compassion, she said. He stared at her for a moment, but said nothing, and she wondered what he was thinking. Worse, you mocked the love he had for his wife.
I questioned his love. I did not mock it.
Who are you to question love?
A god, Persephone.
She glared at him. All of your power, and you do nothing with it but hurt. He flinched at that, and she continued. How can you be so passionate and not believe in love? Hades offered a humorless laugh.
Because passion doesn't need love, darling.
Persephone knew just as well as he did that lust fueled the passion they shared, and yet she was surprised and angered by his response. Why? He had not treated her with compassion, and she was a goddess. Perhaps she hoped to see him as moved by Orpheus's plea as she had been. Maybe she had hoped to see a different god in the moment, one who would prove all her assumptions wrong. And yet, it had only confirmed them. You are a ruthless god, she said, and snapped her fingers, leaving Hades alone in his throne room. Chapter 10. Tension. Persephone arrived at the Acropolis early on Monday. She wanted to start her article, and Hades had given her more than enough to work with during her visit to the underworld. She was still angry with him for how he had treated Orpheus, could still hear his bitter laugh at the poor man's expression of love for his deceased wife, and it made her shiver. At least he had shown his true nature, and at the precise instant she had begun to think he possessed a conscience. The fates must be on my side, she thought.
When she stepped off the elevator on her floor, she found Adonis standing at the front with Valerie, leaning over her desk and chatting. They immediately stopped talking when she arrived, and Persephone felt like she was intruding on a private moment.
Persephone, you're here early.
Adonis cleared his throat and straightened. Just hoping to get a head start. I have a lot to do, she said, and passed them, heading straight for her desk. Adonis followed.
How'd Never Night go?
She froze for a moment. What do you mean?
Hades invited you to Never Night before we left the interview. How did it go?
Oh, right. You're too paranoid, Persephone, she thought. It was fine. She stowed her purse and opened her laptop.
I thought he might convince you not to write about him.
Persephone took a seat and frowned. She hadn't considered that Hades' invitation and inviting her on a tour of the underworld might be a tactic to keep her from writing about him. At this point, nothing could convince me not to write about him, even Hades himself. Especially Hades. Every time he opened his mouth, she found another reason to dislike him, even if that mouth inflamed her. Adonis smiled, oblivious to her treacherous thoughts.
You're going to make a great journalist, Persephone.
He took a step back and pointed at her.
Don't forget to send me the article. You know, when you're finished.
Right, she said. When she was alone, she attempted to sort out her thoughts on the god of the dead. So far, she felt like she'd seen two sides to him. One was a manipulative, powerful god who'd been exiled from the world so long he didn't seem to understand people. That same god had bound her to a contract with the very hands he'd used to heal her. He'd been so careful and gentle until it came to kissing, and then his passion was barely restrained. It was like he starved for her. But that couldn't be true, because he was a god and he had lived for centuries, which meant centuries of experience, and she was only obsessing over this because she had none. She hung her head in her hands, frustrated with herself. She needed to reignite the anger she felt when Hades so arrogantly admitted to abusing his power under the pretense that he was helping mortals. Her eyes fell to the notes she'd taken after interviewing him. She'd written so fast, the words were hardly legible, but after a few careful readings, she was able to piece it together. If it is help Hades truly wants to offer, he should challenge the addict to rehab. Why not go a step further and pay for it? She sat up a little straighter and typed that out, feeling the anger spark in her bloodstream again. It was like flame to an accelerant, and soon her fingers flew across the keys, adding word after angry word. I see the soul, what burdens it, what corrupts it, what destroys it, and challenge it. Those words pierced all the wrong parts of her. What was it like to be the god of the underworld? To only see the struggle, the pain, and the vices of others? It sounded miserable. He must be miserable, she decided. Tired of being the god of the dead, he inserted himself in the fate of mortal lives for entertainment. What did he have to lose? Nothing. She stopped typing and sat back, taking a deep breath. She had never felt so many emotions about a single person before. She was angry with him and curious, caught between surprise and disgust at the things he had created and the things he said. At war with both of those was the extreme attraction she felt when she was with him. How could she want him? He represented the opposite of everything she'd dreamed of in her whole life. He was her jailer when all she'd wanted was freedom. Except that he freed something inside her, something long repressed and never explored. Passion and lust and desire, probably all the things Hades looked for in a burdened soul. She flexed her fingers over the keyboard and imagined what it would be like to kiss him with all this anger in her veins. Stop, she commanded herself, biting down hard on her lip. This is ridiculous. Hades is the enemy. He is your enemy. He only kissed her to bestow favor so she wouldn't cause any chaos for him. More than likely, her near-death experience in the underworld had taken him away from important things, like Minthy. She rolled her eyes and focused on her screen again, reading the last line she'd typed. If this is the God we are presented with in our life, what God will we meet upon our death? What hopes can we have of a happy afterlife? Those words stung, and she knew she was probably being a little unfair. After touring part of the underworld, it was clear Hades cared about his realm and those who occupied it. Why else would he go through the trouble of maintaining such a grand illusion? Because it likely benefits him, she reminded herself. It's obvious he likes pretty things, Persephone. Why wouldn't he cultivate a pretty realm? Her desk phone rang suddenly, scaring her so badly she jumped and fumbled to pick up the receiver, silencing the sound. Persephone speaking. Her heart was still racing, and she took a deep breath to calm herself. Persephone, it's Valerie. I think your mother is here. Her racing heart fell into her stomach. What was Demeter doing here? She worried her lip for a moment. Had Demeter found out about her visit to the underworld over the weekend? She recalled her words in the Garden of the Gods. Need I remind you, a condition of your time here was that you stay away from the gods, especially Hades. She still hadn't figured out how her mother knew she was at Nevernight, but she assumed the goddess of harvest probably had a spy among those at Hades' club. I'll be right up. Persephone managed to keep her voice even. It was easy to spot Demeter. She looked as close to her divine form as possible, maintaining her sun-kissed glow and bright eyes. She wore a light pink sundress and white heels that stood out against the muted wall. My flower! Demeter approached her with open arms, pulling Persephone into a hug. Mother, Persephone pushed away. What are you doing here? Demeter cocked her head to the side. It's Monday. It took a moment for Persephone to remember what that meant. Oh, no. The color drained from her face. How could she have forgotten? Every Monday, she and her mother had lunch. But with everything that had happened in the last few days, it completely slipped her mind. There is a lovely cafe down the street, Demeter continued. But Persephone sensed the tightness in her voice. She knew Persephone had forgotten, and she didn't like it. I thought we might try it today. What do you think? Persephone thought that she didn't want to be alone with her mother. Not to mention, she had just gained the momentum needed to write this article about Hades. If she stopped now, she might not finish. Mother, I'm so sorry. Those words felt like glass coming out of her mouth. They were a lie, of course. She wasn't sorry for what she was about to say. I'm really busy today. Can we reschedule? Demeter blinked. Reschedule? She said the word like she had never heard it before. Her mother hated when things didn't go her way, and Persephone had never asked her to rearrange her schedule. She'd always remembered lunch, like she always remembered her mother's rules, two things she'd ignored in the last week. She knew her mother was making a list of offenses she had committed against her, and it was just a matter of time before Demeter made her pay. I'm so sorry, Mother, Persephone said again. Demeter finally met her gaze. The goddess of harvest tightened her jaw and managed in a perfectly flat tone. Another time, then. Demeter turned on her heels without saying goodbye and stormed out of the office. Persephone released the breath she'd been holding. She'd spent all this time preparing to fight with her mother, and now that the adrenaline was gone, she felt exhausted. Wow, your mother is beautiful. Valerie's comment drew Persephone's gaze. The girl had a dreamy look on her face. It's too bad you couldn't go to lunch with her. Yeah, Persephone said. She made her way back to her desk slowly, weighed down by a cloud of guilt, until she noticed Adonis standing behind her chair, looking at her laptop screen. Adonis! She slammed her laptop closed as she reached the desk. What are you doing?
Oh, hey, Persephone, he smiled. Just reading your article.
It's not finished.
She tried to remain calm, but it was hard when he'd just invaded her privacy.
I think it's good, he said. You've really got something.
Thanks, but I'd really appreciate it if you didn't look at my computer, Adonis. He sort of laughed.
I'm not going to steal your work, if that's what you're worried about.
I told you I'd send the article when I was finished. He put his hands up and stepped away from her desk.
Hey, calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down, she said between her teeth. She hated when people told her to calm down. The disparaging remark only made her angrier.
I didn't mean anything by it.
I don't really care what you meant, she snapped. Adonis was finally silent. She guessed he realized he wasn't going to be able to charm his way out of this one.
Everything okay out here?
Dimitri appeared at his door, and Persephone glared at Adonis.
Yeah, everything's fine, Adonis said. Persephone?
Dimitri looked at her expectantly. She should have told him no, that in fact everything was not fine, that she was balancing an impossible contract with the god of the underworld and hiding the fact from her mother, who would ensure she never saw the gleaming skyscrapers of New Athens again if she found out. On top of that, this mortal seemed to think it was perfectly acceptable to read her personal thoughts, because that's what this was, a draft of an article she was planning. And maybe that's why she was so angry, because the words she'd written were raw, furious, and impassioned. They made her vulnerable. And if she opened her mouth to contradict Adonis, she wasn't sure what would come out. She took a deep breath before forcing the words out. Yeah, everything's fine. And when she saw the smug expression on Adonis's face, she got the sense she'd regret lying. A few days later, Persephone was late getting to Nevernight. Her study group had run over, and though she was tired, she knew she needed to check on her garden. The dirt in the underworld held moisture like the desert, which meant she had to water her garden every day if she wanted it to have a chance in hell of surviving. She stepped off the bus to the scrutiny of the line waiting to enter Hades' club, all staring at her like she'd grown talons and wings. She was sharply aware of her appearance, dressed in yoga pants and a tank, long hair still pulled into a messy bun from the start of her study session. She hadn't bothered to even look in the mirror today, and she hadn't wanted to waste time running home to change just to water a garden. The thought of squeezing into a dress and heels at this point in the day made her cringe anyway. Hades and these clubgoers would just have to deal with it. You aren't here to impress anyone, she reminded herself. Just get in there and get to the underworld as soon as possible. She adjusted the straps of her heavy backpack, wincing at the soreness in her shoulders, and marched toward the door. Makonnen emerged from the dark. He wore a scowl until he recognized her, and then a charming yellow smile spread across his face as he reached for the door.
My lady, I mean Persephone.
Good evening, Makonnen. She grinned at the ogre as she passed into the club. Persephone paused in the dark foyer. She preferred not to enter the club proper this time, and decided to teleport. She snapped her fingers and expected to feel the familiar shift in the air around her. But nothing happened. She tried again. Still nothing. She would just have to go to Hades' office and enter the underworld there. She kept her head down as she cut through the packed floor of the club. She knew people were staring, and she could feel her face growing flush with their judgment. A hand clamped down on her shoulder. She turned, expecting to find an ogre or another one of Hades' employees stopping her because of the way she was dressed. An argument was poised on the tip of her tongue, but when she turned, she looked into a familiar pair of gold eyes. Hermes, she said, relieved. Even glamored up, he was ridiculously handsome in his white shirt and gray pants, drink already in hand. His golden hair was perfectly styled, shorn on the sides, long curls on top, catching the light.
Seffi, he exclaimed, what are you wearing?
She looked down at herself, though she didn't need to. She knew perfectly well what she was wearing. I just came from class.
College chic. He raised his golden brows. Hot.
She rolled her eyes and twisted away from him, making her way toward the steps. The god of trickery followed. What are you doing here? Persephone asked.
Well, I am the messenger of the gods, he said.
No, what are you doing here, on the floor of Nevernight?
Gods gamble too, Seffy,
he answered. Don't call me that, she said. And why would gods gamble with Hades?
For the thrill.
Hermes smiled mischievously. Persephone topped the stairs with Hermes in tow.
Where are we going, Seffy?
She thought it was funny that he included himself in that statement. I'm going to Hades' office.
He won't be in there, Hermes said,
and it occurred to her that perhaps he didn't know about her and Hades' bargain. She looked at the god, and though she wasn't here to see Hades, she still wondered aloud, then where is he? Hermes grinned.
He is reviewing propositions for contracts across the way.
Persephone's jaw tightened. Of course he is. I'm not here for Hades, she said, and hurried ahead to his office. Once inside, she dropped her backpack on the couch and rolled her shoulders, rubbing at the pain. She looked up to find Hermes at the bar, picking up various bottles and reading the labels. Whatever he had in his hands must have been appealing, because he unscrewed it and poured it into an empty glass. Should you be doing that? She asked. The god shrugged.
Hades owes me, right? I saved your life.
Persephone looked away. I owe you. Not Hades.
Careful, goddess. One bargain with a god is enough, don't you think?
She startled. You know?
Hermes smiled. Seffy, I wasn't born yesterday.
You must think I'm incredibly stupid, she said.
No, I think you were lured by Hades' charms.
So you agree Hades has wronged me?
No,
he said.
I'm saying you're attracted to him.
Persephone rolled her eyes and turned from the god. She crossed Hades' office and tried the invisible door behind his desk, but her hands didn't sink into the surface like last time. Her way into the underworld was barred. Had he revoked her favor because she'd brought Adonis to Nevernight? Or was he angry because of how she'd left him in his throne room a few days before? Hadn't he bestowed favor so she wouldn't have to bother him? The doors to Hades' office rattled suddenly, and Hermes grabbed Persephone and dragged her toward the mirror over the mantel. She resisted, but Hermes pressed his lips close to her ear and murmured,
"Trust me, you'll want to see this."
He snapped his fingers, and Persephone felt her skin tighten across her bones. It was the strangest feeling, and it didn't go away even when they were inside the mirror. The sensation was like being behind a waterfall and looking out at the hazy world. She started to ask if they could be seen, but Hermes pressed a finger to his lips. Shh. Hades came into view on the other side of the mirror, and Persephone's breath caught. No matter how often she saw him, she didn't think she'd ever get used to his beauty. Today he looked tense and severe. She wondered what had happened. She soon received her answer. Minthy followed close behind, and Persephone felt a rush of hot jealousy at the sight of her. They were arguing.
You are wasting your time, Minthy said.
It's not like I'm running out,
Hades snapped, clearly not wanting to listen to the nymph lecture him. Minthy's face hardened.
This is a club. Mortals bargain for their desires. They do not make requests of the god of the underworld.
This club is what I say it is.
Minthy glared at him.
You think this will sway the goddess to think better of you?
The goddess? Was Minthy referring to her?
Hades' eyes darkened at the comment.
I do not care what others think of me, and that includes you, Minthy.
Her face fell, and Hades continued.
I will hear her offer.
The nymph said nothing and turned on her heels, walking out of sight. After a moment, a woman entered Hades' office. She wore a beige trench coat, a large sweater, and jeans, her hair pulled back into a ponytail. Despite being fairly young, she looked exhausted, and Persephone didn't need Hades' powers to know that whatever burden she carried at this point in her life was heavy. When the woman saw the god, she froze.
You have nothing to fear,
Hades said in his warm, soothing baritone, and the mortal was able to move again. She offered a small, nervous laugh, and when she spoke, her voice was rough.
I told myself I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't let fear get the best of me.
Hades tilted his head to the side. Persephone knew that look. He was curious.
But you have been afraid for a very long time.
The woman nodded, and tears spilled down her face. She brushed at them fiercely, hands shaking, and offered that nervous laugh again.
I told myself I wouldn't cry either.
Why?
Persephone was glad Hades asked, because she was just as curious. When the woman met the god's gaze, she was serious, her face still glistening with tears.
The divine are not moved by my pain.
Persephone flinched. Hades did not.
I suppose I cannot blame you, the woman continued.
I am one in a million pleading for myself.
Again, Hades tilted his head.
But you are not pleading for yourself, are you?
The woman's mouth quivered, and she answered in a whisper.
No. Tell me,
he coaxed. It was like a spell, and the woman obeyed.
My daughter.
The words were a sob.
She's sick. Pineoblastoma. It's an aggressive cancer. I wager my life for hers.
No, Persephone said out loud, and Hermes quickly hushed her. But all she could think was, he can't. He won't. Hades studied the woman for a long moment.
My wagers are not for souls like you.
Persephone started forward. She would come out of this mirror and fight for that woman. But Hermes held onto her shoulder tight.
Wait.
Persephone held her breath.
Please, the woman whispered. I will give you anything, whatever you want.
Hades dared to laugh.
You could not give me what I want.
The woman stared, and Persephone's heart wrenched at the look in her eyes. She was defeated. The woman hung her head, and her shoulders shook as she sobbed into her hands.
You were my last hope, my last hope.
Hades approached her, placed his fingers under her chin, and lifted her head. After he brushed her tears away, he said,
I will not enter into a contract with you because I do not wish to take from you. That does not mean I will not help you.
The woman gaped. Persephone's eyes widened, and Hermes chuckled under his breath.
Your daughter has my favor. She will be well and just as brave as her mother, I think.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
The woman threw her arms around Hades, and the god stiffened, clearly unsure of what to do. Finally, he conceded and embraced her. After a moment, he pulled her away and said,
Go, see to your daughter.
The woman took a few steps back.
You are the most generous god.
Hades offered a dark chuckle.
I will amend my previous statement. In exchange for my favor, you will tell no one I have aided you.
The woman looked surprised.
But
Hades put up his hand. He would hear no argument. Finally, the woman nodded.
Thank you.
She turned to leave, practically racing out of the office.
Thank you.
Hades watched the door for a moment before locking it with a snap of his fingers. Before Persephone knew what was happening, she and Hermes fell out of the mirror. Persephone wasn't prepared and hit the floor with a loud thud. Hermes landed on his feet.
Rude, the god of trickery said. I could say the same, the god of the dead replied,
his eyes falling unfavorably to Persephone as she got to her feet.
Hear everything you wanted?
I wanted to go to the underworld, but someone revoked my favor.
It was like she hadn't even spoken. Hades' gaze turned to Hermes.
I have a job for you, messenger.
Hades snapped his fingers, and without warning, Persephone was dumped in her desolate garden on her backside. A growl of frustration erupted from her mouth,
and as she got to her feet, brushing dirt off her clothes, she yelled to the sky, "Ass!" Chapter 11, A Touch of Desire. Persephone watered her garden, cursing Hades while she worked. She hoped he could hear every word. She hoped it cut him deep. She hoped he felt it every time he moved. He'd ignored her. He'd dumped her in the underworld like she was nothing. She had questions. She had demands. She wanted to know why he'd helped the woman, why he'd demanded her silence. What was the difference in this woman's request and Orpheus' wish to bring Eurydice back from the dead? When she finished watering her garden, she tried to teleport back to Hades' office, but when snapping her fingers didn't work, she realized she was stuck. Then she tried cursing Hades' name, and when that didn't work, she kicked the garden wall. Why did he send her here? Did he have plans to find her after he was finished with Hermes? Would he restore her favor, or would she have to find him every time she wanted to enter the underworld? That would be annoying. She must have made him very angry. She decided she would explore his palace in his absence. She had only seen a few rooms: Hades' office, bedchamber, and the throne room. She was curious about the rest, and it was well within her rights to explore. If Hades got mad, she could argue that, judging by the state of her garden, it would be her home in 6 months anyway. While she investigated, she noted Hades' attention to detail. There were gold accents and various textures, fur rugs and velvet chairs. It was a luxurious palace, and she admired the beauty of it, just as she admired the beauty of Hades. She tried to argue with herself. It was in her nature to admire beauty. It didn't mean anything to think the god of the dead and his palace were extraordinary. He was a god, after all. Her exploration of the palace ended when she found the library. It was magnificent. She had never seen anything like it. Shelves and shelves of books, with gorgeous thick spines and gold embossing. The room itself was well furnished. A large hearth took up the far wall, flanked by dark shelves. These weren't full of books, but ancient clay vases inked with images of Hades and the underworld. She can imagine settling into one of the cozy chairs, curling her toes into the soft rug, and reading for hours. This would be one of her favorite places, Persephone decided, if she lived here. But she should not be thinking about living in the underworld at all. Maybe after all of this was over, Hades would extend his favor to the use of his library. She wondered idly if there was a kiss for that. She wandered down the stacks, brushing her fingers along the spines. She managed to pull a few history books and searched for a table where she could look through them. She thought she finally located one when she found what looked like a round table, but when she went to place the books on it, she discovered it was actually a basin full of dark water, similar to the Styx. She set the books on the floor to get a better look at the basin. As she stared, a map appeared before her. She could see the river Styx and the Lethe, Hades' palace and gardens. Though the map appeared to sit in the black water, glorious color as vibrant as Hades' garden soon bled across the landscape. She found it funny that the god of the dead, who wore so much black, took such pleasure in color. Persephone was sure this map was missing vital parts of the underworld, like Elysium and Tartarus. Strange. She reached into the basin.
Curiosity is a dangerous quality, my lady.
She gasped and turned to find Hades behind her, framed by a set of shelves. Her heart throbbed hard in her chest. I'm more than aware, she snapped.
The mark on her wrist had taught her that.
And don't call me my lady. Hades simply watched her, saying nothing. So Persephone added, this map of your world is not complete. Hades glanced at the water.
What do you see?
Your palace, Asphodel, the river Styx, and the Lethe. That's it. All places she'd been before. Where is Elysium? Tartarus? The corners of Hades' mouth quirked.
The map will reveal them when you've earned the right to know.
What do you mean, earned?
Only those I trust most may view this map in its entirety.
She straightened. Who can see the whole map?
He just smirked, so she demanded, Can Minthy see it?
His eyes narrowed.
Would that bother you, Lady Persephone?
No, she lied.
His eyes hardened and his lips thinned. He turned and disappeared into the stacks. She hurried to pick up the books she pulled from the shelf and followed after him.
Why did you revoke my favor? She demanded.
To teach you a lesson, he replied.
To not bring mortals into your realm?
To not leave when you are angry with me, he said.
Excuse me?
She halted and set the books on a nearby shelf. She hadn't expected that reply.
Hades stopped too and faced her. They were standing in the narrow stacks, and the smell of dust floated in the air around them.
You strike me as someone who has a lot of emotions and has never quite been taught how to deal with it all, but I can assure you, running away is not the solution.
I had nothing more to say to you.
It's not about words, he said. I'd rather help you understand my motivations than have you spy on me.
It was not my intention to spy, she said. Hermes—
I know it was Hermes who pulled you into that mirror, he said. I do not wish for you to leave and be angry with me.
She should have taken his comment as endearing, but she couldn't stop herself from sounding disgusted when she asked, Why? It really wasn't disgust. It was confusion. Hades was a god. Why did he care what she thought of him?
Because, he said,
and then thought for a moment.
It is important to me. I would rather explore your anger. I would hear your advice. I wish to understand your perspective.
She started to open her mouth and ask why again, when he added,
Because you have lived among mortals. You understand them better than I. Because you are compassionate.
She swallowed. Why did you help the mother tonight?
Because I wished to.
And Orpheus?
Hades sighed, rubbing his eyes with his forefinger and thumb.
It isn't so simple. Yes, I have the ability to resurrect the dead, but it does not work with everyone, especially where the fates are involved. Eurydice's life was cut short by the fates for a reason. I cannot touch her.
But the girl?
She wasn't dead, just in limbo. I can bargain with the fates for lives in limbo.
What do you mean, bargain with the fates?
It is a fragile thing, he said. If I ask the fates to spare one soul, I do not get a say in the life of another.
But you are the god of the underworld.
And the fates are divine, he said. I must respect their existence as they respect mine.
That doesn't seem fair.
Hades raised a brow.
Doesn't it? Or is it that it doesn't sound fair to mortals?
It was exactly that. So mortals have to suffer for the sake of your game?
Hades' jaw tightened.
It is not a game, Persephone. Least of all mine.
His stern voice gave her pause, and she glared at him.
So you've offered an explanation for part of your behavior, but what of the other bargains?
Hades' eyes darkened, and he took a step toward her in the already restricted space.
Are you asking for yourself or the mortals you claim to defend?
Claim?
She would show him. Her arguments against his tricks were not for show.
You only became interested in my business ventures after you entered into a contract with me.
Business ventures? Is that what you call willfully misleading me?
His brows rose.
So, this is about you.
What you have done is unjust, not just to me, but to all the mortals.
I do not want to talk about mortals. I would like to talk about you.
Hades moved toward her, and she took a step away, the bookcase pressing into her back.
Why did you invite me to your table?
Persephone looked away. You said you'd teach me.
Teach you what, goddess?
He stared at her a moment, eyes seductive and dark. Then his head dropped into the crook of her neck, and his lips brushed lightly over her skin.
What did you truly desire to learn, then?
Cards, she whispered, but she could barely breathe, and she knew she was lying. She'd wanted to learn him, the feel of him, the smell of him, the power of him. He whispered words against her skin.
What else?
She dared to turn her head then, and his lips brushed hers. Her breath caught hard in her throat. She couldn't answer, wouldn't. His mouth remained closed to hers, but he didn't kiss her. He waited.
Tell me.
His voice was hypnotic, and his warmth had her under a wicked spell. He was the adventure she craved. He was temptation she wanted to indulge. He was a sin she wanted to commit. Her eyes fluttered closed, and her lips parted. She thought he might claim her then. But when he didn't, she took a deep breath, her chest rising against his, and said, "Just cards." He drew back, and Persephone opened her eyes. She thought she caught his surprise just before it melted into an unreadable mask.
You must wish to return home, he said, and started down the stacks.
If she wasn't talking to the god of the dead, she would have thought he was embarrassed.
You may borrow those